The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. The second hour is live. We'll talk to Joe Goodman in a few minutes. We've already had Dr. Michael Sag on. And let's get back to the calls. And Fred is up next. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Paul. Me and a friend were talking about how to get some of the corrupt politicians out of office, and they said to give the Congress, the Senate, two term limits, which would get all these old corrupt politicians out that have been in there for 40 or 50 years and aren't doing anything but spinning their wheels. What do you think about that?
I think it's certainly a thought. There's no shortage of corrupt politicians on both sides. Hey, thank you for the call. I'm not sure I have a great answer for you there. Matt is up next. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Paul. How you been, my friend? I'm sorry about the call dropping yesterday.
It's okay, Matt.
I want to tell you about some Texas A&M football. Paul, I am really pumped about this upcoming season this year, but I want to ask you a question, though, before I talk about it. What do you think would be the best opponent for Texas A&M playing a non-conference opponent? What would be the worst opponent for us to play for a non-conference opponent?
Well, regardless of best or worst, it would be better than last year. There's no Clemson on the schedule. What was it, Colorado? Was that the scheduled game?
Yes, Colorado was a scheduled game.
I would think A&M will pick up a lesser opponent. I don't think it'll matter. I think Texas A&M is going to beat anybody they play non-conference this year.
Okay. Well, I heard some news about Texas A&M that the athletic director was saying he denied, which I don't blame him for denying. People were saying the rivalry between Texas A&M and Texas A&M was coming back, but he said, nope, it's not coming back. I deny that. But like I said, I'm pumped about this season. I don't believe we're going to go 9-3. I believe we're going to go 11-1 or undefeated. Because I'm really excited for the fact that we have so many starters coming back this year, Paul. And I'm not buying into all these people saying that. And I want to respond to the Ohio State fan who said that only Ohio State and Clemson is going to be winning national championship this year. You got teams like LSU and A&M, up-and-coming teams. Man, he is so wrong on that. And watch out, Ohio State and Clemson, because A&M's coming, and we're going to start winning national championship this year, Paul. That's all I got.
Good to hear from you, Matt. Eddie is up next in Florida. Eddie, thanks. Welcome to our program.
Hey, Paul, how you doing, my man?
We are doing great, Eddie.
Hey, Paul, man, I couldn't stop laughing yesterday, man. I don't know how many times we got called to repentance yesterday, but, man, it's one of your best shows, my man. And then you had Jim to call and confirm. I guess he wanted to confirm that those guys knew what they were talking about. But hey, man, it was funny, man. I had a blast, man. Hey, I'm a mailman out here in Florida, Paul, and I appreciate your last interview. But here's the big deal, my man. I'm just so sick and tired of people. We're living in a country now where nobody, Paul. I won't say nobody. That's a strong word. But we're living in a country where a lot of people, Paul, find it difficult to tell the truth. Have you been finding that out lately,
Eddie? I've never lived in a time when we were misled by more people about more things than we are today. I'm curious, just if I could ask you a question. What are your biggest challenges right now doing your job every day?
Well, Paul, I'm grateful to have never lost my job. That mail has continued to flow during this pandemic. We're suffering just like everybody else, Paul. But the toughest part, we do have tons of carriers sick and going through the same thing that a lot of other people that are out here out and about working. It's just trying to stay healthy, Paul. That's pretty much.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wonder because you're having to deal with so much. Material that you don't know where it's been, and I'm sure I know you're careful, but it's a little more challenging than what I do and what a lot of people do when you just go to work and you're not dealing with thousands of pieces of mail and boxes that come from who knows where.
Yeah, for sure, it's one of the dirtiest jobs in the world, Paul. But we are required to wear masks you know, for the most part, we all wear gloves. So masks is mandatory as of probably 3 weeks ago here in Florida, as far as mail carriers. So it's a challenge, Carl. But man, we're not gonna complain about it, because we are truly blessed to still be able to work. Because we see, Paul, we see the struggle. We out here every day. We see the struggle. We see people losing businesses. We see furniture that, you know, somebody that we delivered to yesterday, and we come back the next day, and everything is beside the curve. We see that, Paul. It's man, you feel guilty. That a lot of times you feel guilty because you are working. You know, but that's,
it's funny you said that, Eddie. I went through that back in March, and I think some people told me to quit wearing it on my sleeve, but I've never been, especially those early days of COVID, I've never been more appreciative to have a job and to be able to go to work every day. But I also had this feeling of guilt, and I bet you, I'm sure, you know, we may have gone through it similarly, and that we were working and so many people were losing their jobs. I mean, it really was it was a depressing feeling for a long time to deal with.
Oh yeah, it was, Paul. It reminded me so much of back in 2008 and 2009.
Right.
When we went through the same thing. But I want to say something real quick, Paul. I understand what your doctor says in reference to wearing masks and social distancing. But Paul, this is not going to happen in this country. If we have to come together as a country right now to get anything done, Paul, it won't get done, because the lines have been drawn. Paul, when it comes to leadership, you don't get second chances, my friend. You don't get second chances.
No, you're right. You're completely correct. I'm glad to hear that. Hey, thank you. So, Eddie, you stay safe, okay?
Roll Tide, brother.
Take care. By the way, there's an interesting story that's just breaking, and I was on yesterday morning, or today, I can't remember, with Heather Dennis, with Mike Greenberg, and you know, we saw the six players from the Patriots opt out, and we were talking about, is this trend going to trickle down to college football? And a lot of people have been wondering, and it appears like the first big fish has fallen. Caleb Farley, who's a cornerback at Virginia Tech, considered a surefire first-round pick, has just announced that he will not play college football this fall, that he'll spend the year training for the NFL. He said he's seen NFL players do that and is going to follow suit. Keep your eye on that story. Jim is up next. Jim, go right ahead.
So Eddie mocked me and thought it was funny about my call. Is that correct, Jim? I mean, Jim, is that correct? Yeah, Jim. You're Jim and I'm Paul. Is that correct, Jim?
You know, I really don't remember him saying that. I'm sure he did, but I was...
said it was funny, and then he mentioned my name and behind the other guy. You know, Paul, I understand, and I was alerted. I won't tell you how, but I was alerted after the yesterday's show that, you know, it warns you in the Bible, you do not cast your pearls before swine. Or it says they will take them and rend you with them. In other words, they'll mock and try to make fun because they're heathens, Paul. You've got a show full of heathens. I mean, you got an audience full of heathens. There's no doubt about that. Number one being iMonkey, and you got—I'm not going to name any others, but I'm convinced without a doubt he is a heathen.
So Jim, you are, hold on, you are convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that iMan is a heathen?
Without a shadow of a doubt, with every sapience in my brain, God-given sapience,
wow,
he is a heathen, no question about it. And that's not judgment, that's fact. That's all that is, that's fact. But otherwise, wow. And you got a bunch of heathens. But, I mean, like I say, you got, you know...
Jim, out of curiosity, who are the top five heathens on this show,
well,
myself included?
One. I mean, you're number two.
Well, I mean, I knew that.
I know you knew that. I'm not going to name any more, Paul, but, you know, there's one in Mississippi. There's no question he is.
Okay,
and,
well, that's for sure.
You know what's surprising, Paul? There's hope. There's great hope. Larry and Jack have become great. At least I know they're Patriots. I don't know if they're... What else they are, but they're not heathens, and I thought he was one. So I was right. I didn't judge him, but I had him in the lineup of being one of those a couple of years ago when he was bashing me every day. But he's a great guy. I mean, this guy is, something's happened. Maybe a change is taking place in Larry, but it's great. He's really good.
Well, Jim, listen, you know, I know in the Bible they tell you to turn the other cheek, and I'm just going to thank you. I'm going to thank you for calling me. I'm going to thank you for calling me a heathen.
Well, there's no question. I'm just, hey, that's you're right. Now you know what you need to work on.
Yeah, no, I'm working on it, Jim. I do not want the dash under my name to say Paul Feinbaum, heathen.
Paul, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be serious. I mean, they can laugh all they want because I know that's part of the price you pay for being what you are and doing what God wants you to do. And he said warn people and call them in and do what you need to do. But, you know, Paul, it's a heart thing. That's all this is. It's where your heart is. Only God knows where your heart is. So I can't judge you. I consider you a heathen, but I don't know that. So that should make you, only God knows that. That's a fact.
Yeah. I appreciate you giving me a warning because
Paul, the scary part for you is you've associated with so many heathens. You've got them all around you, and I know that too. I know that for a fact.
There's no doubt about it. Jim, thank you. I will go to work on that during the break.
Glad to do it, Paul. You told me to always warn you. All right.
Bless you, my friend. We'll be back. More to come. A couple more heathens on deck on this Wednesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back, and really an interesting article written by our next guest, Joseph Goodman from Mail.com. The billion-dollar question, how can there be football without a bubble? It's a good question. Seems like the NBA and the NHL are doing extremely well. You heard Dr. Sag talk about that earlier, and Major League Baseball having a few problems, the NFL just getting underway. Joe Goodman joining us from AL.com. Joe, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Hope all is well. And amazing that college football has thought of everything, but they didn't think of this. Take us through your reporting and the writing on this story. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. They're thinking about this right now, okay? And in the SEC, for example, they're going to have the presidents and the chancellors meeting tomorrow, and this needs to be a huge topic of conversation. How are we going to have football at a bubble when, you know, you see the transmissibility of COVID-19 blowing up on the Miami Marlins team 3 days into the season? You know, obviously, there are going to be outbreaks in college. How they deal with this, that's going to be the big story for college football and if they can pull this off.
And
by the way.
Yeah, I want to jump on that because it's on the final 2 days of July. It's a little bit 3 days of July. It's a little bit late to build the bubble, but let's talk about where they are right now, Joe. I know you cover this and write about it every day or so. We're down to the final week or two to get this season off on time. You've heard all the conversations. Give us your thoughts on what is really going on, not inside the bubble of players, but inside the bubble of administrators.
Yeah. I can't think of a college president, okay, who would consider it a great idea to go ahead and start college football immediately as planned. It's just that is out of the equation, all right? Pushing the season back, I think, until the third week of the season, mid-September, I think that's the move right now that they're hoping for. You know, in the SEC, I think they're going to maybe make an announcement on Friday. But, you know, really, we still do have some time, so they can push back and keep pushing back and keep pushing back until they get an answer that fits the idea of having football. Because, you know, all things being equal, the only reason that they're even considering this right now is because of the huge money that's involved. So, you know, as long as they can push it back to where we can get part of the season in, as much of the season as possible, a modified schedule, I think that is the conversation right now.
But, Joseph, as you well know, every time you interview one of these people or we interview them, they always say the same thing, that the most important thing is the safety and well-being of the players, and they will listen to the medical experts. We just had one on, and you know him pretty well. He lives in your community. And I didn't hear a lot from Dr. Sag that if you went to him and said, should we have a season on September 5th or not, I have a hard time believing he would give you the green light. Who is advising these people?
Well, UAB and Dr. Michael Sag is advising them. I would hope that people of his expertise are the people that they're turning to. I know that UAB's disease specialists have helped shape policy in this state. You know, today the governor extended the mask ordinance statewide until August 31st, and that was a great thing that happened in Alabama today. If you want to talk about disease specialists and whether they think that we should have a football season, I mean, right now I think they're just worried about ICU filling up at this point. You know, I don't think that they're going to be very, keen on the idea of football starting up on campuses. When we have all these players that are going to be surrounded now by the general student body, I mean, how is that going to work? I know that we're testing in Alabama every single college student in the entire state, which is 200,000 people, okay? But then they're still going to be infected after that, possibly when they come to campus. If they want to have, like, Georgetown, for example, today, they just announced 10 minutes ago, I guess, that they're not going to have any freshmen at all on campus. Everything is going to be online for freshmen. You know, maybe they can think about modifying attendance that way in colleges, and that will help cut down on the spread of the coronavirus if they're going to have open campuses. But just looking at everything that's happened in sports the past couple weeks, we know that there are going to be outbreaks. All right, that's just an inevitability, and we've already seen NFL players opt out of this season. You know, the first college football player, Caleb Farley for Virginia Tech, I think 5 or 10 minutes ago it was just announced that he is not going to play at all in this season. He's going to forego the entire year and just focus on the NFL draft. I think you're going to be seeing a lot more of that here in a couple weeks, in the next week or two, especially with some high-profile guys at teams like Alabama who don't really need to play another snap of college football at all to go higher in the draft. Because, look, it's not going to be fun at all for any of these kids. You go back to school, you want to be the big man on campus. You know, right now they're being herded around like lab mice, and it's just not going to be fun for anybody to be playing college football, quarantined, taking classes in your dorm. Like, if you have a chance to go to the NFL, just skip this year and do that.
So, Joe, I mean, I think I know where you're going here, but let me make it simple. We are now a month away from the season. What should the leaders of college, what should the commissioner of the SEC, we'll keep it in your neighborhood, what should the commissioner of the SEC do right now? Should he continue extending this? Should he announce that they're starting and with a limited or a variable schedule, or should he just shut it down in your mind?
I think the smart answer would be to shut it down until the spring. I mean, that the SWAC has already done that. Other conferences have already made that decision. If you can have football in the spring, I think that would be the smartest idea. If that's too logistically impossible and there's too much television money at stake and you're going to have a season, then you're going to have to create a bubble, all right? Commissioner Greg Sankey is going to have to create a bubble and have universal standardized guidelines for every team. Like this is the protocol. We're going to have independent bodies here. And, you know, fans at games, I can't imagine having more than 10,000 fans at, you know, 15,000 fans in a 100,000 seat stadium, you know, in 3 weeks. So they're already coming up with plans to socially distance stadiums and configure them to where you can have fans 6 feet apart right now. That's happening. But as far as pulling this season off, there needs to be standard rules across the board, and they need to be strictly enforced, and independent bodies need to be at these individual teams to make sure everything is going well in the bubble. And that means just simple things like washing your hands. You know, that's how the Marlins got in trouble. So, you know, it's common sense things like that, but, you know, it seems like we're having a very hard time with common sense these days.
What do you think is ultimately at risk if the SEC and everyone else plays football this fall?
If everyone plays football this fall, I think we risk, you know, more infections and more spread of the coronavirus. I think that's the bottom line here. You know, and I just talked to another UAB doctor today before I got on the phone with you, Paul, and he's a pulmonologist. And, you know, just because someone is exceptionally fit does not mean that they can be impacted by the coronavirus. And there's not enough research, really, for this disease to know the long-term effects, even in mild cases, on people. And you're talking about elite athletes, okay, and their respiratory systems. You know, someone really close to me, personally, I know, has had COVID-19 in March, and they can't stop coughing, okay? And they've had to get a nebulizer, an inhaler prescribed to them because they just cannot stop coughing. It's this COVID-19 lingering cough. And this is an extremely in shape person, all right? So, you know, things like this, consequences that we haven't even really addressed or had enough research in. Those are some of the things that I'm worried about, that just beyond the fact of the spread of the coronavirus.
Joseph Goodman from AL.com. Joe, great, always great to have you on. Thank you very, very much. Stay safe, man.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
Good stuff. By the way, as we were talking to Joe, a couple of things are happening. The Illinois High School Athletics Association has tabled all sports until spring, and the ACC is meeting right now, and there could be some news on that. We'll keep our eye on if they have an announcement. We will be back with more guests and your phone calls after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flail.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back, and there is some breaking news, as we alluded to a minute ago, on the ACC. They've gone ahead and announced that they are going to play, and they are going to start reasonably on time. They'll play 10 ACC games plus one non-conference game. The first game's beginning on the opening, a little bit, I'll have to double check on the exact date, but Notre Dame will play a 10-game conference schedule and be eligible for the conference championship. It looks like this is the new model. Meanwhile, Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated is reporting that the SEC is moving closer to a conference-only 10-game schedule as well. He says he's reporting at this hour that the ADs agreed today, and the presidents are expected to be tomorrow, but it is still somewhat fluid. But the ACC situation is not fluid. They have gone ahead and announced a rather confusing schedule in terms of how it will work. We'll get you some more details on it in a second. But it's the first conference to go ahead and say we're not waiting. We are going ahead with the schedule. So more updates on that. We have more updates on that. Meanwhile, as mentioned about an hour ago, Caleb Farley, who plays for Virginia Tech, considered a first-round pick, has become the first big name in college athletics to follow what is becoming rampant in the NFL. Players are opting out of the NFL. Six Patriots yesterday. This was Caleb Farley earlier today.
After much consideration with my family, I have decided to opt out of the 2020 college football season and began preparing for the 2021 NFL draft. I am opting out due to uncertain health conditions and regulations and all the other opt-outs going on in football right now. I tragically lost my mother, Robin, January 2nd, 2018, to an illness, and I cannot afford to lose another parent or loved one. Though the competitor in me badly wants to play this season, I cannot ignore what's going on in my heart, and I must make the decision that brings me the most peace. So thank you, Virginia Tech, my coaches, teammates, and anyone else who has supported me in the past. I wish you all the best, and stay safe, and God bless.
So it's an interesting situation. Certainly the reference to his loss may sum it up, but count on more players doing that as the total confusion continues of where we will land here in about 5 weeks. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. And Bill is in Atlanta. Hey, Bill. Thank you for the call. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thank you. I've been trying to get on for a while now. Hey, my son is a ACC player, and I've been listening to the other journalist you had on there today, and I did see just a second ago that the kid from Virginia Tech's opting out, but I think that's going to be more of a rarity than the norm, because most of those kids want to play for their school, they want to play for their buddies, and I just don't see that being a ongoing thing. And the journalist also said that football won't be a safe environment, but if the kids aren't playing football, I mean, what's going to reduce their risk, because they're still 18 to 21, 22-year-old kids, so they're still going to do what kids do.
So yeah, you know, I think that's a good point, and you understand it better than maybe we do. And it's a tough subject to talk about. You as a parent understand where I'm going here, that you know, every kid doesn't come from the same background.
Correct. That's right. That's right. And if they sent my kid home, which I hope they don't, but, you know, he's still a young man. I don't know how I could convince him to stay in the house and not go anywhere and not do anything. You know, they're still the same thing whenever I was a kid and you were a kid, you know, I mean, we're
sure
going to do what we're going to do. So I don't see that. And the other thing that they're not talking about is the school system itself. You know, they keep talking about pushing back football, but most schools are ready to open campus, you know, in 2 or 3 weeks. So that money is real, and that's another subject. But, you know, they're not going to cancel schools this fall, but they're talking about canceling sp- sports and other activities, but the school systems themselves need the money. You know, the university system of Georgia, just from the half of spring semester and into the month of June, we were down $350 million, not from sports, but from school activities, so or school tuition, rather. So that, from all the fees and that sort of thing. So, you know, I don't know what it is from school to school, but, I mean, that's the – football's not the only one that seems to be grabbing for the money. It's also the school systems themselves are grabbing for the money.
Bill, I think that is a great point, because there's so much more money at stake. And yep. If it wasn't about that, then I'm sure some of these schools would not be opening.
No, yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And we have a personal friend that I know he's going to be a top 10 draft pick, and he wants to play. So I just don't see it being the norm. I really don't.
Well, listen, you have much more insight than I do, so I'll defer to you. And I think a lot of it depends on circumstances, and I think we just heard there from the Virginia Tech player. I mean, he had some reason why he was concerned. That's understandable.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I just saw something come across the screen. Now, they're still planning on doing – fraternities are going to have rush, sororities are going to have rush. I mean, I don't see it. And the guy said that the football players are walking around in a bubble. I don't know. Maybe they are at the University of Alabama, but my son's not walking around in a bubble.
I can.
You're taking precautions and that kind of thing, but they're not.
I mean, the problem happens in a couple of weeks, and you know that.
Right.
And once you get everybody on that campus, and by the way, even though people are going to come on campus. I mean, I know one thing. I'm tired of staying in my parents' house. If I can go back to school, I'm going back to school.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So it's not that football or any other fall sports the evil money making machine. It's the school systems themselves want the money just as bad as the football, and we want to watch football. I want to watch football. I want to see my kid play football. So I just don't know if you're really alleviating the risk by not having sports. And I'm by no means a doctor, so I don't know. There's just a lot of variables out there, but I don't think canceling any fall sports or any other programs is going to stop the risk or the numbers from going up just because you don't do sports in the fall.
Bill, thanks for sharing. Really appreciate it. Hope your son is safe.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You got it. Really, that's a great call there. By the way, a little bit more on the ACC situation. They are pushing back the championship game, which is at Bank of America in Charlotte, to either the 12th or the 19th of December. And here's the most interesting part of this. They are doing away with divisions this fall, something I don't know, I have not heard the SEC mention. And the one non-conference game for each school has to be played in its own state. So you had an Auburn-North Carolina game scheduled for Atlanta. I think you can do the math on that one. It's good for the South Carolina-Clemson game. It's good for Kentucky-Louisville, Georgia-Georgia Tech, and Florida-Florida State. We will take a break, update you on all these stories when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So we welcome you back. A lot of movement right now with what the ACC has gone ahead and announced. They've announced a 10-game schedule plus a one-off game that would be held in their own state. And I think I may have overstated a minute ago, because there's now some speculation out there about the SEC playing a conference-only schedule, adding two more games. I've heard that some schools have even gotten indicators of who their opponents could be. That has been making the rounds today. But it's worth mentioning that there is still a great deal of fluidity in college athletics, and I think that would be the understatement. Let's get back to the calls and check in with Kathy, who is in Georgia. Hey, Kathy, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you. It's been a while since I've talked to you.
Thank
but
you.
I'm glad to see you doing well. And I've got a comment and then maybe a question. Jim, talking about us being heathen in your call-in show, I think that he's part of the problem because I think he's a descendant of the ass that Jesus rode in on. But also, have you heard from Jimbo about the Clemson Tiger uniform, a mascot uniform again? Because, you know, it was terrible looking at the national championship, and I hope they got a new one. Also, I think us as fans, if we want to sign a waiver to attend the games, I don't see why we couldn't attend the games. Because, like,
well, Kathy, let me try to explain that. It's up to every individual state to determine how many fans are going to be allowed. I think I've heard some states are only going to allow 10 to 20%. So it's not really the issue of a waiver; it's simply an issue of over who can get in or not.
Mm-hmm. I understand that, but I feel like, you know, if they're going to let the kids go to school in the school system here in Georgia, I don't see why we can't attend our functions, you know, especially the season ticket holders. And I just don't understand.
Well, I think I just tried to explain it. I'll try to explain it again. I mean, ultimately, yeah. it's not going to be up to the schools. It's the governor of every state will have the final jurisdiction. I've heard some reports of states of schools going to governors and saying, hey, we want 50% capacity like they have in Texas. And governor saying, no, we're not going to let you do that. Let's get back to the calls. And Mitch is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today?
We're doing well. Thank you.
How is Dr. Feinbaum?
She's doing even better.
I got two segments and then a question, if you allow me. I just want to warn Matt, stop inviting Clemson to beat your butt. Leave us alone. LSU tore us up last year, but that was an anomaly because LSU probably could have tore up Cincinnati Bengals last year. And Jim, you're always quoting the Bible. One of your favorite names to call people is a fool. And it says in the Bible, those that call people a fool are in damnation of burning in hell. So be careful how you use that word. And now my question, Mr. Feinbaum, and I know you really can't answer it, and you're probably just going to have to do the best. What makes only conference games safer than just regular games?
Mitch, it doesn't make one bit of difference. It's just it's an optically good look. They think that they're not going to be traveling to Dallas or somewhere else. But within the SEC, Tennessee traveling to Oxford or Texas A&M going to Florida or anywhere else, what difference does it make?
I mean, if Clemson has to play in Syracuse, we'd have a quarantine before we could play.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've looked at the fall, and there's some places that I would normally go I can't get to, so there's almost no way to travel.
But I'd be glad to have football, and I'd be glad to maybe play safety.
Yeah, I mean, let me also say that everything that you're hearing today could change. The ACC feels comfortable announcing what they're announcing. The SEC has not said anything yet. The ADs met. The presidents meet tomorrow. The presidents, in a game of poker, will trump the ADs. We have to go to a break. We are sorry. Much more to come in the final 2 hours.